You already hit play?
Yeah, I thought we were going to start.
How long have we been sitting?
I thought we were going to start. Probably 4 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Dead air space.
What if we left it in there?
We should. Probably not. That'd probably be a bad
I did clip. Leave in the thing that I wanted to edit out last week, and you told me I wasn't allowed to.
Yeah. It's not fair. I have no control over the editing situations. What's your, like... I mean, obviously, it's Christmas time.
Yes.
Lights are up. Music's on.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally felt that way since November 1st. But here we are, and it's December something. Second?
Second. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like full swing, you know? There's 25 days of Christmas going on.
There's nobody
Freeform,
that's...
Freeform, slash ABC Family.
The people that gripe when you put on Christmas music too early, they're no longer griping. They've accepted it.
They shouldn't have griped in the first place, but just because... Christmas music is beautiful.
There's a thing that we do probably, I mean, nobody plans it. Nobody talks about it, but sometime in the month of June and July, we'll have like a 3 day like stint where somebody just like turns on the house Bluetooth and cues up Thomas's Christmas playlist. And we'll just start listening to it. And it's like a soothing balm that like just washes over the summer. Like, it's like we don't discuss it because you can't plan it. It just has to be the right moment. And sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Nora, but somebody puts on the Christmas music and it's like everybody in the house has a collective like, oh man, that's so good. And then we'll listen to it for like 3 days and then it's over.
Yeah. Well, Maddie and I got YouTube TV recently.
Mm.
Sort of.
We're Hulu people.
Oh. Okay.
That's cool.
What does that mean about us?
It doesn't
mean
anything.
Are we allowed to be friends?
I literally don't know what I meant by that.
But
we can change passwords and we can both be both.
It's fine. It's fine. Everyone does it everywhere. But I've realized that with like live TV, I've kind of missed commercials a little bit, which is funny. But
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I have. Especially this time of year because everyone has their specific... Like, you get the Lexus commercials, which are just like... Which I'm like, I'll never buy one of those. I can't afford that. But
or
like
those couples that buy two cars, one for him and one for her.
Yeah, with
you're
a
like,
big bow.
Are you joking me?
Yeah.
You bought two cars?
Or they'll have like a Mercedes driving through a blizzard. And I'm like, no one drives their Mercedes through a blizzard.
No.
You're selling the wrong thing.
No, they
here.
Drive the Blue Turdy through the blizzard.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, we have to pause. For those who don't know... Can you explain what the Blue Turdy is?
That was my first car that I had for like 3 weeks.
Well, that both of his sisters had to drive for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And they were so mad. When
1986 Pontiac Sunbird. It was like sky blue, but
it's the color of like one of the alternate jerseys for the University of Kansas Jayhawks who just pounded the Wildcats last night. They lost. They just blew this unbelievable lead. Sorry. What were you saying about commercials?
Oh, detour. Oh, I just realized I missed them. There's like, there's like specific ones that you get every year with Christmas. And like, I really haven't, we had cable in college, but we didn't watch TV. We played video games and like watched series. Yeah. But like, you know, there's that time where you're just sitting around your parents' house as a kid. And the one that I didn't realize was still going on. And I found out I really missed was there's the Corona commercial where there's some guy like in a tiny house on an island somewhere and he's like whistling Oh Christmas Tree, and then this palm tree just lights up with Christmas lights. And I'm like, that thing's been going since like 2004.
That's a nice one.
And they're just like, run it back. It's December.
It's a good commercial. It's a timeless commercial. And one thing that I've been loving about that particular beer manufacturer as far as their commercials is that in the past couple of years, they've hired Tony Romo.
Mm. Yeah.
To like do play by play of what the guy on the beach is doing. He puts the lime and whatever it is.
They, I just.
The only time we know commercials is during football season.
Mm.
Because we'll watch football games like all day on Saturday.
Wow.
And as a result, like Nora and Jack have every commercial memorized.
Mm.
So they'll just, you know, whether it's Samuel L. Jackson, Capital One, or whether it's whatever it is, like they, Mayhem, They've just got
like
them.
The Mayhem commercials.
They can turn off their brain and like mindlessly go through every single section of the commercial.
It's amazing. We need to have commercials on this show. I stand by it.
Dude, if we had sponsors paying us to make this show, you better believe we would have a commercial break.
Yeah.
If there are any local businesses out there that would like to sponsor a podcast.
Just, yeah. I don't know what we would.
Advertise for you.
I just can't imagine it. What if we were sponsored?
I would think that Joseph Laurent could benefit from us. Like if he sponsored us and we got a little like per diem for them.
I'm sure everyone listening to our commercials are looking for cars on a regular, right?
Obviously.
I said our commercials, our podcast. All of our podcast listeners, all 14. Yeah,
I would think that if we didn't break his heart every week that Austin White would want us to rep his realty business.
You just did it. Austin White is actually a dentist. He's actually a dentist. So there's nothing that we're advertising his. Just Google it.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
Don't Google that. It's not true. He's a realtor. I was just trying to throw you off the scent because he didn't pay for that spot right there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Venmo
is
awesome.
No, pay for the spot. Yeah. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. Can I
lead off? Clearly, we do this for monetary purposes.
Yeah. Can I lead off this week?
Sure.
You mind that?
Of course.
I'm going to be in Mark chapter 5.
What? We're going to mark it up today.
Let's mark it up. I had a couple things in my head that I wanted to deal with today because...
deal with it.
Like, I had an alternate that I was really, really leaning towards, which is, you should look it up. In Psalm 100, Psalm 100 takes like 20 seconds to read. But there is... It's this kind of thesis that I have about worship, which is if you don't feel like worshiping, you start by doing the physical act first and your spirit will get in line. Well, Psalm 100 totally corroborated it this morning. If you look at the order of the verbs, it's like shout and then sing and then, I wrote them down.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
Yeah. Shout, worship, sing, and then know that the Lord is God.
That's cool.
So like the thing that happens inside your spirit happens after you do the things that you can just do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was my variant.
I like that.
Mark chapter 5 has a lot of times in Mark, it moves so fast that there's like three or four acts in each chapter, three or four little scenes. Mark chapter 5 basically has two scenes and that kind of morph into three. But one is the demon-possessed guy that lives in the tombs. And the other is the, what they call like the dead girl and the sick woman and, Jairus and the woman who bled. And the thing that I was noticing a connection between these two things this morning, but it started because of this really cool thing that happens after. So this guy is demon possessed. He's got like thousands of evil spirits populating his mind and heart. In fact, when Jesus asks him what his name is, he says, "My name is Legion because we're many." And I mean, he is isolated. He's hurting himself. He lives in a graveyard. He like they try to chain him. He breaks the chains. Like it's just awfulness. And then Jesus speaks this peace into his life and he kicks the demons out. And the guy, the next time everybody sees him, he's sitting there clothed and in his right mind. Just like hanging out with Jesus. This is a beautiful story. But at the end of it, Jesus says this to the guy. So Jesus is getting into the boat. And like, I thought this was cool. It's like, as Jesus is leaving, he's like getting into his boat and he's like shouting out to the guy, "Hey, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And I just took that little directive and I was like, okay, that's going to be my thing today is like, I want to be able to talk about the good that's in my life because of Jesus. And the thing I realized about that was I can't do that if I don't know what it is. Like before I can tell you about it, I have to remind myself what it is.
Oh, that's cool.
Like I'm going to have to start intentionally. I'm going to have to start intentionally like writing down or rehearsing what the Lord has done for me. So I just started writing some things down and it started with things like my wife loves me. Like my kids want to hang out with me, which is not a given. Like I have friends who have my back. I have kindness. I have, you know, I have like a church family. I have this house. I have like a few years ago, my house like basically blew up with a disaster I could not afford. And I had friends who showed up to help us move out of it. Friends who showed up to help us move back into it. Like the Lord showed up in the clutch with literally thousands of dollars for us to pay down that debt, like out of nowhere. I mean, he saved our butts and he's done that so many times. Like, and the more I started listing stuff, I had to like write faster and faster and faster. Like all of a sudden I started thinking about like, friends we have in Spain, because I got to go do that in Spain. Young Life guys we've had, and inside jokes we've had in cabins of guys. And then I thought of like the people in Chicago that we know, and like the music that I've gotten to make with Jed, the albums that like I should not be able to make, like legit sounding albums on Spotify, but I've got them. Like, and it just started cascading. And the more I did it, the more I had to say. And I realized there's an intentional thing of Jesus saying, like, go home to your own people, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And I was like, it would be easy for me to think like, it's been a hard week. I've had some frustrating things happen. I've had some crappy circumstances. I'm doing terrible. But like the more I intentionally started thinking about all the things Jesus has actually done for me, the more I thought of like thinking of them beget more and more and more things. And all of a sudden, like I had a page full of things. It only took a couple minutes just to like get the engine going on that. And that was such a cool thing. So then I flipped over to the next. So I just kept reading Mark chapter 5. And this is the only version of the, like this woman who has this issue of bleeding who comes to Jesus. This is the only version of that story where it says she told Jesus the whole truth. Like she told Jesus her whole story. And I realized that's the connection between these two things, is like my story, my history, and the intersection of my history and Jesus and that moment, that's an important thing. And it's something I need to know. And I'm not going to know it unless I rehearse it and think through it and remember it. These are the times Jesus showed up in my life. This is how bad it was. This is how good it got. And this is why it's important that Jesus came in this moment. And so that was just a really cool thing. It was something I didn't expect, that like, it makes sense, but it's like, if I intentionally do it, if I intentionally go after the reasons that I have to be grateful for how Jesus has acted in my life, I think of more and more and more of them.
Yeah. I like the way you're saying that, because a lot of times it is work to do that. And it's not always easy to get started on it, especially when you are feeling down and out. And, but it does something in you to dig deep and find those things. I like what you're saying about, it's easy to write off your week as, this is a hard week, this is a tough time, I don't have much going for me right now.
Yeah, and a lot of those things are true.
Absolutely.
You know, it is hard.
But then it's amazing to put pen to paper or go on a walk and think, or just to speak out loud and realize all the good the Lord does for you. There's so many times in our lives where the Lord does something amazing and then within 2 hours we've moved on from it. And then you forget about it, you know? You don't recall it ever. I don't think that's a practice that we do very often. And I think historically and biblically, the people of God have always done that. They've been terrible at it at times, but they always remind themselves and their friends and each other of all the good that the Lord has done for them. The people who are absolutely terrible at it were the disciples. And the good thing is that the Lord has a lot of grace when you do forget those things, you know?
Yeah.
Because you find them in one chapter walking on water, and then, or sinking and being pulled up by the Lord, or whatever the thing is. And then the next chapter, they're terrified, or whatever the thing is. There's just always like, I love that the disciples were that way, because we all are that way.
Yeah.
It would have, and it's just, I think it's such a cool thing about our religion, is that, especially at Christmas time, the way Jesus entered this world is amazing and would not have been invented by anybody.
Yeah.
And the way he lived his life is amazing and cannot have been invented by anybody. You know, a spokesman for the poor and the needy and the sick and the outcast. Like, no one would have created a God who's that way, right? Yeah,
weakness is better than strength, and humility is better than power.
No one would have given him best friends who are such bozos. you know,
they would have been awesome.
They would have been awesome. They would have been studs. They would have been, his power would have rubbed off on them like Tinkerbell's fairy dust everywhere they went, you know, just like, you know, they would have been amazing. I think I could be wrong about that. And then the beauty of the gospel is you see them become that over time. Like you see his spirit work in them and change them and their time spent with him. And, you know, you have Peter being the way he is. And then he's writing letters to people that are published across history in the Bible. And I think it's so cool. You know, and you look at Paul and how he was and what he became. You look at every single one of them and it's like, shoot, the Lord did amazing things for you and look at what it's made you become. I think it's so cool.
Yeah. You snuck a word in there that we don't say a lot, which is the word religion.
Yeah.
Like we don't use that word a lot, but
no, that's a word people my age have disconnected themselves from. They say, I don't have a religion. I'm a friend of Jesus. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. But like, it's a really important word. Like, I mean, linguistically, it's a cool word. It comes from the same word where we get the word ligament, which like a ligament binds like a muscle to a bone in the body. It attaches two things that are different to each other so that they work together. And like, and then the prefix re is like to do again, like a redo, a re-up. It's like to bind again. That's what the word religion means. It's like, I was separated from God and I have been once again bound to him again. And so I like that you bring that word up because it reminds me, when I do this work, I like that you also like that you called it work. When I do the work, it reminds me like, oh man, I've been bound again to this God who is so good to me, who is so kind to me, who does have so much mercy. And when I forget, he just keeps loving on me and stuff. And it's so cool. Like I think this is, there's some surprising things that even when you're not remembering, like I got a text message last week and I think I shared it with you from our friend Janet, who was just like, hey, cause we had taken a week off the podcast and then cause you were traveling, I guess. And then we did it again. And she was like, hey, I just want you to know, I'm thankful when you guys get to make the podcast because it helps me, you know, or you know, and just said some really kind things. And people do that. And it's like, that is such a generous thing that we get to literally, we're just sitting here talking as we would in any situation. But then people are like, hey, thanks for doing that. It's helpful. It's like to take some time and remember these things and be like, oh man, for some reason the Lord is using me. And that's so kind. It's so good. And so I love this idea of tell how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. Well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to intentionally set up a system where I can remember and be aware of what he's done for me.
That's cool. Okay, we're going to skip forward in the book of Mark. I think probably the last 10 of these for me have been from the book of Mark. And it's just because I've been like borderline Lectio Divini-ing the heck out of Mark for the past 2 months or whatever. Just like read a little bit, think about it, read a little bit again, just rereading the same thing over and over again every day. And I think it's super cool. And I'm going to look at Mark 12 where Jesus basically, when one of the teachers of the law asked him, which is the most important commandment? And I think it's cool. He just pulls the Shema out and I think it's awesome, you know, I have many levels of things I think are awesome about this. And I'm going to dive in specifically on one, but I do think it's cool. Anytime Jesus just straight up, his knowledge of the Old Testament, it's amazing and it makes sense because he's God, but it's also, I think it's awesome that he uses it in the way it's supposed to be used amongst people who use it in a way that it's not supposed to be used. And I think it's awesome. He doesn't write off the Old Testament and say like, it's time to forget this, but he
breathes it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Okay. And one of the teachers of the law said, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. There's just one, lots of love there. Just LOL, lots of love. I just had the thought the other day when I was reading this yesterday, and I thought, if I'm not loving today, what am I doing? I'm missing it. Yeah. You know, the two most important things the Lord says. And like later on in the book of John, when asked, you know, he says, they will know you're Christians by your love, you know? And I think it's so important. It's so cool. And it's over stylized and it's stolen from a lot of other people of how important love is. And the truth is you don't really have it without Jesus. You don't have it without God, because John tells us later on that God is love. And it's just, you know, it's super important. And it's important to love yourself, which is something that people don't think about, but he says it. It says it right there. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're supposed to love yourself.
Right.
Which if you're not, it's hard. It's hard to do sometimes. But I dug in deeper into the heart, the soul, the mind, and strength. I think it's easy for me to read this and think like, okay, love is important. Give it all you got, especially with God. It's important with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And I just wrote out all your heart, dot, dot, dot. What does that mean to me today? What is that? When I think about all my heart, I'm just like, it's all my guts. It's every deep part of me, every inch of me, from my toes all the way up to my nose. Like every inch of my body, I'm going to love the Lord with what?
You're a tall guy.
I'm a tall boy. That's a long way to go. With all your soul. That one was tough for me. And then like, it didn't hit me till like a day later. This morning I was in the shower and I looked at this, and I feel bad because I haven't even talked about this with Maddie yet. But like, I looked at it from a lens of marriage and what it means to love, and loving the Lord with all my soul. It's such an interesting thought, and just how much work it takes and how much effort it takes and how much thought and the idea of doing it forever. I guess when I think of soul, I think of forever. I think of eternity. I think of loving the Lord yesterday, today, tomorrow, and doing it as hard as I possibly can. When I boil this down, when you let it simmer and it thickens, like the more I think of it is like just giving it all I have, I guess. And when I think of loving the Lord with my mind, I want to think about him more. I want to think verbally. That sounds funny, but I do. I want to verbally think, I love the Lord. I just want to say it more in my head and in my heart and to him. And when I think about strength, I literally think about like bearing down and gritting down and loving the Lord. All that boils down to love. And to me, it was putting effort into it and working at it.
Yeah.
The idea of like being married and that relationship that the Lord describes, it's like a thing that I haven't been able to figure out really until I got married. It's been hard to understand like Jesus as a bridegroom, you know, like I haven't figured it out. And then I've learned a lot about love and marriage. I've learned a lot about what it means to love and working at it and how fun it is and how sweet it is and how much you have to work at it and how different it is. It's a different kind of love. And then when you look at your relationship with the Lord, it's no longer me saying like this. It's no longer just me saying, okay, I'm going to love him really hard. I'm just going to do that. There's just a lot of depth to it. There's more depth to it. There's a lot of work behind it. There's a lot that he gave up, and there's a lot of me needing to understand that. And it's been so interesting and so fun to be married and then to think about my love for the Lord and his love for me through that lens. It has been so sweet and encouraging.
That the one that really grabbed a hold of me is the love the Lord your God with all your strength, and all your might. And you know this about me, not everybody does, but the past few months, there's a day of the week where I meet our buddies Jeff and Rob, and we do like a just like a really intense like leg day workout.
Rob's the content director of this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's early in the morning. It's the end of the week. When you wake up, you don't feel like waking up. When you go, you don't feel like going. It's harder now that it's cold. And Jeff designs these workouts, and they're really unkind. Like they're just, he's a very kind man. These are very unkind workouts. And I can already hear his laugh. A thing happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I've been going for a few months now. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, we like put on some heavier weight, and like I was on the squat rack, and I like squatted down really good form and just like squatted it right back up, did it like two more times. And Jeff said a thing, which was, he goes, "Hey, it's working." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "You couldn't do that 3 months ago, you know?" And it was like, "You're right. It's working." Like, I'm nowhere near as strong as those two guys. Those guys are so strong, but like, I'm getting stronger, and I'm getting stronger because I'm working out. Like, I'm putting weight on, and I'm putting resistance on, and I'm putting in this work. And like, that's a mystery about the spiritual life. Like, what are the things that the Lord just gives me, and what are the things that I can have a part in strengthening? And like, to love the Lord with all my strength and all my might, the thing it made me realize is like, my legs and my hips and everything, like my legs are getting stronger because I am intentionally doing a thing that not many people are doing, which is I'm waking up early and I'm going to the gym and I'm putting weights on a bar and I'm working out my legs and I'm putting the reps in. And sometimes it's way too many reps. Like, sometimes it's way too many, but like, I'm getting stronger as a result of it. And so I think that applies also just to like, to figure out what it means to love the Lord. Is like, there's going to be some things that I'm going to have to do that other people don't, you know. It's like, you know, proverbially, like other people will stay in bed and I will get out. Or maybe literally, whatever the thing is, but in order to get stronger, I'm going to have to do some things, you know, to actually get stronger. I really like that.
You said it.
No, I mean the verses.
Oh. You just patted yourself on the back.
When you first started talking, I poured myself some more of the coffee that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I talked to you about this, but it smells like Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I smelled it too.
Did you smell the Lucky Charms?
I smelled it earlier.
Are you a Lucky Charms guy?
Ooh, yeah, it's got sugar in it.
That surprise, because there's some things about you that you're like, compared to people your age, you're a more healthy eater than most people that are your age.
I would throw the past 3 months out of that.
just toss it out of the.
Yeah, I realized the past like 3 months I've had some type of dessert almost every day. Just like.
But Lucky Charms is basically like dessert for breakfast.
Last night I made a cinnamon bread. Mm-hmm. And goodness gracious,
it was good.
Holy cow, I was pretty proud of that.
But you're like, in general, you're a cereal guy.
Oh, I love cereal. And I'll eat cereal for every meal.
Really?
Yeah, I like Special K fruit and yogurt. It's so dang good. I would eat it for every meal. I would eat two bowls of cereal with 2% or whole milk for every meal.
Wow,
I love cereal.
How have we been friends this long and I didn't know that about you?
Like, I think there are people who are like, I guess I'm going to eat cereal for dinner. If it's like, hey, eat cereal for dinner, I'm like, okay.
Let's go.
I love it. Let's go. I'll eat two bowls. I'll eat two now and then one 2 hours later because I'll be hungry again. But like, I can eat a box of cereal a day. I think it's so good.
A box of cereal a day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Hey, we're going to do something I don't do that often, which is...
we're going to perform a song right now.
ish. That we talked about the Gadarene demoniac from Mark chapter 5. So I'm gonna put a song on here that I wrote like 12 years ago.
Ooh.
About that guy. Yeah,
I like this song a lot.
Fun.
Yeah.
By the way, the kid that plays cello on this song was a sophomore in high school when he played it.
Yeah.
So let that sink in as you listen to it.
It's very good.
Very good. Hey, thanks for joining us. We love y'all. Love your encouragement. Mm-hmm. Super thankful for you. And I'm Lee.
No, I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. Boom.
Well, I wrap myself up in these chains I wear, and I cut myself to make these hurts I bear. And all that I see in their eyes are frightened stares, and nobody wants to know me. It is so dark inside my mind today. A legion of voices is pulling me their way. And I get so weary of all of the terrible things they say. Is this really who I am? Someone speak to me. Bring me some peace today. Silence all these voices but yours, and hold out your hand and pull me out of this grave. Everyone runs away, you're drawing near, and I see love in your eyes instead of fear. At the slightest sound of your voice, oh, my mind is so clear, I can hardly believe it's me. Oh, the things that you say to me. Well, you spoke to me, brought me such peace today. You silenced all these voices but yours, and held out your hand and pulled me out of this grave. All these voices but yours, and hold out your hand and pull me out of this grave.